Welcome everyone to the Srimad Bhagavatam class. We're reading from Canto 1, Chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. And looks like we've got an encyclopedia of verses on the board, as has been written very nicely, almost like typewriter. Thank you so much. So everyone is ready to recite the entire verses, but maybe I suggest... I mean, it's on the board, but let's try anyway. Okay. It's translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay. Wherever the king visited, he continuously heard the glories of his great forefathers, who were all devotees of the Lord, and also of the glorious acts of Lord Krishna. He also heard how he himself had been protected by the Lord from the powerful heat of the weapon of Ashwadhama. People also mentioned the great affection between the descendants of Rishni and Pritha due to the latter's great devotion to Lord Krishna. The king, being very pleased with the singers of such glories, opened his eyes in great satisfaction. Out of magnanimity, he was pleased to award them very valuable necklaces and clothing. Purport. Kings and great personalities of the state are presented with welcome addresses. This is a system from time immemorial, and Maharaj Parikshit, since he was one of the well-known emperors of the world, was also presented with addresses of welcome in all parts of the world as he visited those places. The subject matter of those welcome addresses was Krishna. Krishna means Krishna and his eternal devotees, as the king means the king and his confidential associates. Krishna and his unalloyed devotees cannot be separated, and therefore glorifying the devotee means glorifying the Lord and vice versa. Maharaj Parikshit would not have been glad to hear about the glories of his forefathers like Maharaj Yudhishthir and Arjuna had they not been connected with the acts of Lord Krishna. The Lord descends specifically to deliver his devotees, Parityanayam Sadhunam. The devotees are glorified by the presence of the Lord because they cannot live for a moment without the presence of the Lord and his different energies. The Lord is present for the devotee by his acts and glories, and therefore Maharaj Parikshit felt the presence of the Lord when he was glorified by his acts, especially when he was saved by the Lord in the womb of his mother. The devotees of the Lord are never in danger, but in the material world, which is full of dangers at every step, the devotees are apparently placed into dangerous positions, and when they are saved by the Lord is glorified. Lord Krishna would not have been glorified as the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita had his devotees, like the Pandavas, not been entangled in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. All such acts of the Lord were mentioned in the addresses of welcome, and Maharaj Parikshit, in full satisfaction, rewarded those who presented such addresses. The difference between the presentation of welcome addresses today and in those days is that formerly the welcome addresses were presented to a person like Maharaj Parikshit. The welcome addresses were full of facts and figures, and those who presented such addresses were sufficiently rewarded. Whereas in the present days, the welcome addresses are presented not always with factual statements, but to please the post holder, and often they are full of flattering lies. And rarely are those who are present such welcome addresses rewarded by the poor receiver. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjaya Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesha Shudyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Seems like the class is almost over after that long verse and purport and translation. So last week, a couple of weeks ago, Nishkinchana Chaitanya Prabhu was speaking with me and he goes, "Oh, I see that you're giving class again." I said, "Yes, I'm giving class again for whatever it's worth." And he said, "Oh, I'm really looking forward to the class." And then again last week he said to me over the WhatsApp message, "So I'm looking forward to your class." I said, "Well," he asked me whether I'm looking forward to the class also. So I said, "Well, this body will sit on this exalted Vyasa-san. This mouth will open and some things, words will come out. That's where sort of my engagement finishes. The rest is up to His Divine Grace, the Lord, the Parampara, and all of you wonderful Vaishnavas here and online who can take some things, some words from this exalted personality, Srimad Bhagavatam, and make a difference in your spiritual progress. So I beg blessings and forgiveness for any sort of wrong messages that I put out there. So this purport is heavy with many, many things. It's got a lot of aspects or the tone that we can take from in terms of delivering this class. It is interesting that in the purport and the translation, Srila Prabhupada mentions the word glorified, glories, glorious. How many times? Did anybody manage to sort of hazard a guess? Yes, Prabhupada. 11 times, yes, 11 times. maybe I think, to take my notes and read them. So 11 times, indeed. So, that's glorious, right? It is glorious, yes. Maharaj Parikshit was extremely pleased to hear these glorifications from the singers, the assembled Vaishnavas there, and thus he rewarded them abundantly. Not because of his own ego got inflated, no, but because he heard that his own very dear Lord Hari was being glorified, along with his forefathers and himself. Not because that glorification is because of what he has done, what he has achieved, how he is the emperor of the world. No, because how he was saved in the womb of Uttara when the Brahmastra from Ashwadama was going to attack him and kill him. And how the Lord had protected him so quickly, very precisely. And also that he was named Parikshit because he would look at everybody to find who is that Lord, who was the one who saved me. So Parikshit Maharaj is such an exalted personality. Glorifications are many faceted. You see, sometimes in the material world, in the mundane world, glorifications happen. I don't know whether anybody's been to a race, like a horse race or even like a race. Hands up. Anybody been to like a race? Yeah, David Prabhu. Dog race, horse race. Sometimes there's also something called the royal races. The royalty in the kingdom of Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth, and the entire royal entourage, they have a race. And often people who are racing, sometimes the prince would race, the child of the prince would race, and then they allow the child to win. They allow others to take the glory. Why? Because they respect that personality. Whereas here, in the spiritual world, we allow, the Lord actually allows the pure devotees to win. The Lord allows us the mercy to associate with Him, His name, His form, His paraphernalia, His prasadam, His devotees. And so therefore He's glorified, and actually, in actuality, we are also glorified. Sometimes what happens in the ashram, we often circle around some devotee, the unsuspecting devotee, and we start glorifying them. So what happens when that happens, when devotees are glorifying? They like look away, look on the floor, they're like thinking, oh, you know, what is going on? Why these guys are just my enemies? Some of them say, you are not my friend, you're my enemy. Why? Why does that happen? So we will look at that today. So this section or this class, what I wanted to focus on today was around genuine glorifications versus mundane or material glorifications, and how we can sort of tackle that when we are being glorified. It is uncomfortable to be glorified because it seems that one's ego may get inflated. They won't be able to walk out of that door. They may think that, oh, if my ego is getting inflated, I might fall down because of my ego. And so let us have a look at some personalities who have written books, many, many books, around how to actually glorify. And one such personality, one glorious personality, is Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. During my research, I came across this very nice book called Sri Aishwarya Kadambini, which is The Monsoon of Lord Krishna's Opulence. And Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, he was born in the early part of the 18th century in a village near the city of Remuna. Even though he was born the son of a Vaishya farmer in his youth, he still received an exceptional education through a very thorough education in Sanskrit, rhetoric, logic, and scripture. In his youth, he accepted sannyas in the Madhva Sampradaya, and staying in Jagannath Puri, he quickly became prominent in intellectual circles. His study of Srila Jiva Goswami Sandarbhas made him a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He visited Navadvip and spent the remaining part of his life in Vrindavan studying Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vaishnava scriptures. Under the guidance of his spiritual master, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yes, indeed. At this time, by the order of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and by the mercy of the deity of Sri Govinda, the famous Govinda Bhashya commentary on Vedanta Sutra was written. To answer criticism that the follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were not genuine followers of the Vedantas or the Vedas because they had neglected to comment on the Vedantas themselves. So he redressed the balance. He, through his intelligence, through his empowered intelligence, redressed the balance. And he actually wrote very, very prominent books and presented that to the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wrote the Govinda Bhashya, Siddhartha Ratna, Vedantas Shamatanka, Prema Ratnavali, Siddhanta Darpana, Aishwarya Kadambini, Sahitya Komadi, Chanda Kashtuba, Kavya Kashtuba, Bhagavad Gita Bhashya, Vaishnava Anandini Tika, commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as commentaries on Tattva Sandarbha, Stava Mala, Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Vishnu Sahasra Naam, we will look at that a little bit later, Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Natak Chandrika, and Shamananda Sataka, just to mention a few. I'm sure Jai Krishna Prabhu and the Bhaktivedanta players will be interested in the Natak Chandrika. It's all about the art of drama and things like that, Natak. So now, let us understand. We've understood a little bit about who this personality is. and how, but let's understand how he actually in this specific book, he in the monsoon of the Lord's Krishna's opulence, the Sri Aishwarya Kadambini, how he actually glorifies the Lord, how he actually glorifies the devotees, and how the devotees take glorifications. And that way we can maybe also learn how to take glorifications. So, in the first section, named the first shower, the spiritual world, Pratham Risti Bhagwat Tripad Vibhuti, there are 10 texts that Srila Baladev Vidya Bhushan mentions. These texts are an exceptional way of actually glorifying. So let's learn first how he glorifies in different ways. In the first two texts, he mentions the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, at the start of the glorification, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the glorification of his most beloved and confidential devotees, the best amongst the six Goswamins, namely Shri Rup Shri Sanatan Goswamis, that's right. Srila Baladev Vidya Bhushan says in that, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose form is like blue lotus flower, who wears golden ornaments, who possesses a multitude of eternal transcendental qualities and opulences, and who bears the name Shri Krishna. Appearing in this world with Sri Sanatana Goswami and Sri Rupa Goswami and bringing great tidal waves of the ocean of transcendental bliss, may the wonderful and splendid rising moon of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dispel the darkness within our hearts. You see, tomorrow is the full moon. It's called the Sharad Purnima. And this is a very, very special time of the entire year because we've just had the Purushottam month, we've just had Navaratri, especially for the materialists. We've just embarking upon, we've just had Dashera, which is Lord Ram's killing of Ravana. And the moon is so exuberant in the sky during this time, actually guiding Lord Ram back to Ayodhya. And all the little lamps along the road takes Lord Ram from Lanka to Ayodhya. And everybody in Ayodhya are jubilant in that way because Lord Ram, their own Lord Ram, is coming back after so many years being in exile. And so it is really nice and enchanting to hear how the moon of our life in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has risen to dispel the darkness that was there and to guide us back to him, back to Godhead, through the scriptures, through all these personalities that he has opened up the treasure trove and given us the Harinam. Harinam and the scriptures have been reignited, they've been re-established by Lord Chaitanya. And it continues to do that as many, many devotees within ISKCON and during this parampara, the entire parampara, writes many books, writes many commentaries like Srila Baladev Vidya Bhushan. So we continue reading as to how they dispel this darkness within our hearts. There's a very special note in these two texts by Srila Baladev Vidya Bhushan. At the bottom, he talks about Sanatana and Rupa. He says, if the word Sanatana is interpreted to mean eternal, and if the word Rupam is interpreted to mean form, then this verse may be understood in the following way. Ready for this? Very nice. I found this really interesting. Revealing its eternal transcendental form in this world and bringing great tidal waves to the ocean of transcendental bliss, may the wonderful and splendid rising moon of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dispel the darkness within our hearts. So, through the teachings of Sri Ranatran Goswami and Rupa Goswami, we get to dispel the darkness from our hearts. Text 3 talks about Lord Vishnu. He says, Lord Vishnu's very wonderful realm is named Paravyoma, Paravyoma. It is like a great city of regal palaces. It is filled with the most exalted transcendental knowledge, and it shines far beyond the darkness of matter. In this spiritual world, Lord Krishna appears as Narayan, Vasudev, and his other Chaturvyuha expansions, and as Lord Narsingha and other Leela expansions. In these forms, he displays his transcendental opulences and enjoys pastimes with his devotees. Appearing in many blissful transcendental forms, endowed with a host of transcendental opulences and accompanied by many friends who are all goddesses like her, the Supreme Goddess Lakshmi eternally worships her husband Narayan, who also appears in many transcendental forms. Above the Paravyoma are the realms of Dwarka, Mathura and Vraj. In these palaces, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, enjoys transcendental pastimes with his friends and relatives. In Mathura and in the opulent city of Dwarka, Satyaki, Uddhava, and many others worship the Lord in many goddesses of fortune, headed by Srimati Rukmini, worship their husbands, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Accompanied by many friends and servants, Lord Hari, the Prince of Raj, stays in the beautiful and opulent realm of Gokula. Sri Radhika, along with her friends, who are all goddesses like her, continually serve him without engaging in any other activity. So tomorrow also starts the amazing, amazing month of Kartik, the Lord Damodar Leela. And so this verse is very, very pertinent here, because it says, along with Sri Radhika, all goddesses like her continually serve him without engaging him in any other activity. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Bhagwana ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Gonitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So then already, if you are part of the Parikrama, Lord Damodar WhatsApp groups, you would have received your special gift this morning about Lord Damodar and the Kartik month. We have roughly 8 groups, and all of them have received this amazing gift and benediction about Lord Damodar. So we continue in our class. I'm conscious of the time. So in all these verses, the last verse talks about how, because of his great handsomeness, sweetness, charm, and opulence, because of his musical sound of his flute, because he's filled with love, and because of his host of friends and relatives, great poets and philosophers say that Lord Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there's no doubt, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So many people, so many poets, intelligent individuals talk about that, all the way from Brahma, all the way down, and even beyond. So, Baladeva Vidyabhushan glorifies the Lord himself, along with the Lord's confidential associates, devotees, abodes, expansions, his name, and so on and so forth. So let us look at some of these glorifications and how he has glorified the Lord. We'll look at one more, and then we will look at some material glorifications, and then we will compare the two, and then summarize with how to actually glorify. Okay, so in the offerings of Sri Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra, the thousand names of Lord Vishnu, there's this very special text, text 86. Because of the time, I won't go through the Sanskrit. I'll just name a few items from the translation, where he talks about how the Lord possesses unlimited auspicious transcendental qualities, and how he is continuously glorified with eloquent prayers, which is stavya. He becomes greatly pleased when devotees sincerely describe his glories and chants his holy names, stava priya. He personally empowers his devotees, such as Dhruva Maharaj and others, to speak eloquent prayers, stotram, and they continuously glorify his transcendental pastimes and qualities, which is stuti. And he carries on like that. Bharata Vidyabhushan is amazing the way he actually takes every part of the verse and gives very eloquent commentaries and very precisely analytical way in order to break each verse down. Amazing. If you haven't read the offerings of Srila Bharata Vidyabhushan, really recommend you do that. I was just finding that out now through this research. Really gave me the taste buds of reading some more of the offerings by this personality. Again, there's a very special note in this verse 86. He talks about, he quotes Vedic literature to explain the name Stota in this particular verse. He says, the devotees are eager to worship and glorify Lord Krishna, and the Lord is inclined to worship and glorify them. But as I was reading this, I wanted to actually talk about this specific verse, text 88. Now, whatever you take away from this class, this bit, if you take away, that's the best. Okay, so text 88 talks about practicing for the ultimate test of Krishna consciousness. What is the ultimate test of Krishna consciousness? Yes, time of death. And so time of death, you know, we are all anxious. We are all sort of practicing for that period, how to actually die. We've taken birth, we've lived our lives, and now is the time, obviously, to understand about how to become, you know, aware and conscious in death. But what if you're not aware and conscious in death? Srila Bharata Vidyabhushan has given us some relief here. He says, if my devotee is not able to remember me at the time of death, because of the great disturbances felt within the body at that time, then I shall remember my devotee and take him back to the spiritual world. So he makes a promise himself. As long as we are remembering him, he remembers us. So where is the anxiousness? Where is the worry? We are eternal. The entire world currently with the pandemic are completely worried about death. Oh, actually they're worried about the death of their pocket, the death of their economy, the death of their opulences, the death of their nice meaty foods in restaurants, and so on and so forth. That's what they're really worried about, in actuality, without really considering what will happen at the time of death. They only have to do is remember the Lord, glorify his Vaishnavas, glorify his paraphernalia, chant his name. And that way, that worry of death goes away completely. Okay. So, that's been the mood of glorification. It's through the glorification of the Lord, we actually glorify the devotees. The glorify and the glorifier. I don't even know whether they are actual proper words in English, but they're probably not. Anyway, you understand the glorify and the glorifier. The glorify gets all cringy and stresses out, and the glorifier gets all relishness by glorifying the Vaishnavas. It's a little bit of a tongue twister, but hey. So like Prahlad Maharaj, in that amazing pastime of Lord Narsingadev, there is no Prahlad Maharaj if there is no Lord Narsingadev. And there is no Lord Narsingadev if there is no Prahlad Maharaj. Similarly, Lord Ram and Lord Hanuman. Lord Hanuman is nothing without Lord Ram, and Lord Ram is completely devoted to his Lord Hanuman. So much so that he gave him all powers, that you can stay in this material world, you can travel to the spiritual sky to see me whenever you want. That's how much opulence he had given him, just because he was a devotee of the Lord. Obviously, he's an exalted personality, but these are the mercy of the Lord that he gives to his devotees. What to speak of his pure devotees? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur, or Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, How are they exalted personalities? Because of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Narada Muni and Lord Narayan. The list is endless. So that's how we glorify. We actually put Krishna in the center and then glorify the devotees. Because they are glorified because of Krishna and their mercy upon his mercy upon them. In the material world, in the corporate world, whenever I used to work in Canary Wharf, you know, whenever you want something done, you'd go to the secretary of the director or the executive secretary or the PA, and you take some gift for them. You know, you'd buy a nice preparation from the canteen and then take it along. Oh yeah, I was just passing the canteen and I just thought of you, here you go. Oh, and by the way, you know, do you think there's a chance I can see the finance director? You know, we've got these things to sign off, da-da-da-da-da. There's always something or other that you want to make do, right? There's always some gift or some glorification. Oh, you're looking so nice today. The husband would say to the wife, looking so amazing, effulgent today. And she'll look at him with a rolling pin in her hand, thinking, what do you want? Now, why are you glorifying me such, you know, what have I done, you know? Or more importantly, what have you done? Have you been cheating on me? Things like that, right? So this is what happens. That's the material glorifications. You know? Suddenly, a husband or a wife or somebody will receive this bouquet of roses or flowers in the post, and they'll say, oh, who's this from? And they'll say, oh, your loving husband. And they'll say, oh, yes. There's a famous saying that says, amongst the ladies, this is what my sister used to tell me, that whenever they discuss that, oh, some unexpected gift has arrived from your husband, there's definitely something wrong. He's up to no good. So this is what happens in the material world. You see, so because the material glorifications are not centered around the Lord. They are all for sense gratification. They are all for what the individual wants at that time. They are not about his fame, his pastimes, his abode, his amazing personality, his amazing devotees, like we've discussed. So for devotees to not feel the effect of their ego growing and to effectively take the glorification is as follows. One must listen to and accept the glorification humbly. It's important to listen to the glorification, what the individual is trying to actually say. Pass the glorification to another devotee, which is what often happens. Oh, no, it's not me, it's that other person, it's the other Prabhu. He's the one who is more glorified. We must have heard the story of the best devotee, Narada Muni searching around the universe. Who is the best devotee? He goes to so many personalities and everybody says, no, it's not me, it's this other person. And eventually they come to the best devotees as the gopis of Vrindavan. See, even the gopis say, no, we are not. We just love Krishna. Krishna is our heart. So they are centered around Krishna. Or you pass the glorification to the spiritual master. Or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The third aspect is also important. We must thank the devotee who've taken the time to glorify. Now, sometimes we call them enemies, sometimes we call them, no, you're not my friend, you're glorifying me, you're naughty, all these things. Why? Because it's growing our ego. But actually, we should thank them because it's a gift, they're giving you a gift. Loving exchanges, as it is said in the scriptures, again with humility. Thank them with humility and inform them of their true and worthy personality and glorification. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, he's being glorified and he's giving them gifts. Right? And so, I'm not saying we give them gifts in the Brahmacharya Ashram, but at least accept it humbly and then pass it on to the gift, the glorification, who it really belongs to, like Srila Prabhupada. So that's how we basically take glorifications. In this way, we gracefully and without inflated egos accept the glorification. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita verse, Parita Nama Sadhunam Vinashaicha Duskritam. So then the Lord, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his knowledge, will be within our heart, actually remove all the demoniac natures and make us the pure devotees that we are, we ought to be. So in summary, we talked about how Srila Prabhupada uses the words of glorification 11 times in this purport and translation today. The exalted personality Srila Balda Vidya Bhushan and his, and all his amazing books that he's written and in offering to the Lord. How to glorify the exalted personalities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is the mood? And how not to do it like the husband and wife in the material world or the employee in the director's office. How the materials glorify and how we glorify. So I'd like to sort of end the day, it's 8:30, and take chastisements and corrections and glorifications of you all Vaishnavas. So if you, anybody wants to share any glorifications, then by all means, do that now. Hare Krishna. So any questions, comments, glorifications for these exalted Vaishnavas who are present here? Gaurudrupa Prabhu has got his hand up. Do we have the mic? Thank you, Prabhu. Gaurudrupa Prabhu is there. Oh, Srinivas Prabhu. Thank you, Srinivas Prabhu.
You know, you said in your class about the husband giving a gift to the wife, the flowers.
Mm.
If I was, the wife is holding a pin saying, what do you want from me? Isn't that just part of rasa, the relationship?
Yes, it can be part of rasa. Different type of leela relationships, yes. But you see, the husband knows who wears the trousers in the house. You see, so they have to often please the trouser or the handbag bearer, the boss inside the house. You see, the husband has a boss at the office and the husband has a boss at home. The only place probably he doesn't have a boss is in his garden shed where he can escape without any sort of pins coming his way, either from the boss at office or the boss at home. The man cave, yes, Gaurudrupa Prabhu says. So yes, it is a rasa, like Radharani is the boss of Krishna. We know, right? Like that. Gaurudrupa Prabhu, and then, okay, Rasa Raj Prabhu. Exactly, so only, obviously there's a connection between Srinivas Prabhu's rasa that goes to Rasaraj, Krishna.
Thank you for your class. It was very detailed, very nice. Very nice and concise. A question is that, say that we do get glorified, and we know the tattva, everything belongs to the spiritual master, everything, you know. We're only here by the mercy of devotees. But still, pride may enter, and we're faced with, you know, I mean that's one of our, you know, anarthas, pride. But we still know the knowledge is there, but the realization may not have happened for devotees or for someone. What do we do at that point when pride does enter and it causes a lot of disturbance? What is the solution?
It is very difficult. Pride. It is very difficult when that enters. Obviously, I'll ask others to also comment, some senior devotees to also comment. But whilst reading these instructions from Srila Baladev Vidya Bhushan, he talks about trying to be humble. Pride enters. But humility is the antidote to pride. Humility, when we pass the glorification to somebody else, although in our minds we might be thinking, no, actually this is mine, but let me just outwardly pass this on to somebody else. But hey, I'm still accepting the glorification. But actually, when we do that more and more and more, eventually the heart will start to understand. And our association with other devotees and these other rocks that are there, when lots of rocks come together and then they bash against each other, they become very smooth. They're rounded. And so eventually that ego and that pride will get bashed around by the Brahmachari ashram and the association of many Vaishnavas. But the scriptures also tell us, gives us more and more practice in how to actually get us away from the ego and the pride and the other anarthas that have taken refuge in our bodies and minds in this age of Kali. Anybody would like to add anything to that, perhaps? Yes, Prayojana Prabhu. Did that answer your question?
Hare Krishna. It's a strange thing, but Mother Kalangana was like a superb example of... at her, every year, they would come to glorify her. We glorify her. And there was one particular glorification, and Shivaram Swami was there. And they were speaking about Mother Kalangana. And when Mother Kalangana was glorified, immediately her head went down. She didn't say anything. It wasn't a case that she didn't like it. It was a case that Shivaram Swami, he noticed this. He says, Mother Kalangana, you're not falling asleep, are you? And no. What it was, and it was immediate, that's her way. She just immediately put her head down. And then she would glorify everyone in the room. That was her way. Actually, and it was that was the special thing. You know, like Radhanath Swami. Oh my God. Anybody who walks in the room, they're going to be a victim of glorification. You know, so Mother Kalangana, you know, immediately, but she felt it was a... And she really chastised me once when I started to ask for glorifications for her, when she asked me to speak from the Bhagavad Gita. She really chastised me. Why? Because I said, has anybody got anything to say for Mother Kalangana? And she chastised me. She said, what did you want me to read from the Bhagavad Gita? This is all I want. And Shivaram Swami, you know, thought she was falling asleep, but no. She just ducks her head. She says nothing. And then glorifies everybody else.
Haribo, Mother Kalangana ki.
But the other thing is, just one other thing is, the nature of the soul is to glorify, not to criticize. That's false ego. And that's something to remember. That the nature of the soul, if we criticize to any extent, you know, somebody's behavior or whatever, it's something to remember that that's not the activity of the soul. It's not a reflection of the soul. The soul only wants to glorify. That's its nature.
That's a very good point. Very, very good point in that the soul's natural position is to glorify rather than criticize, compare, and complain. That's the material. Any ladies have anything to add? Or any glorifications to add? No. Gaudrama Prabhu? And then we'll make that as a final one. Take it there.
Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Thank you very much for the very nice... detailed class. I sometimes like to give gifts to people or thank them or, you know, glorify them.
Give them mangal sweets in the streets.
Yeah, but then sometimes when people want to give me things or they want to say something nice about me or something, it's like, you know, I don't want to. But then I was thinking, this giving and receiving is a two-way thing, you know?
Yes.
So one gentleman, he said to me, well, he said, you always give me things, you always say something nice about, but when I want to reciprocate with that, you don't want. You know? So then he said, how would you feel that if I refuse what you're giving or your... So I thought, oh yeah, that's an interesting point he made. So then I was thinking in this way that, say, by the grace of Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnavas, you manage to do something which pleases people. And if they say, oh, thank you, we appreciate that, we like, thank you, or whatever, and all that was nice, then rather than taking it like, oh, you know, I'm the one that's the doer. You see, actually, that whatever I've done or whatever I've said or something, I only learned that from the Vaishnavas, from the spiritual master, you know, from the teachings of Krishna. So before that, I didn't know anything. So actually, you say, yeah, we accept that. Thank you so much for the encouragement, you know. But then you say, actually, like if Srila Prabhupada, if he hadn't stepped on the Jaladuta, I don't think we'd be doing any of this. So we can accept, but we pass it on. Yeah? Otherwise we get burnt. You know?
Yeah.
And and you were talking about Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So I found a verse in relationship to that. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila, chapter 1, text number 2. It's a beautiful verse. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudadaya Pushpavanto Chitro Sando Tamo Nadur. He said, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all.
Hari Go, Gornitai Ki, Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Tai Gora Premanande.
Bibo. Yeah.